Okay, let's get started. Building a minimal terminal UI library for language Lua, but it's cross-platform, so it probably would, for anyone who wants to build something like this, might be interesting to see what we ran into. Small shout out to LabLua and GSOC for helping us out funding the project, which really helped us last summer. For the sake of time, let's skip on that. I'll give you a short demo of what it does today. So this is Lua Rocks, which is a CLI interface for Package Manager, and we simply used it as a as an example to, like, can we wrap it in something useful in a text-based UI? So the first thing we did is we created some widgets on the command line, such that the command line becomes interactive, so you can actually, like, walk up and down, execute commands, and exit in this case. The second example we did is a full screen application where we have panels, we have a header bar, a keyboard shortcuts, we can move around, can hide panels, show panels. So this is current state of what it does. Back to the presentation. So the goals, cross-platform, it had to work. The idea is mainly from when you start working with Lua, Lua's source distributed, which is hard on Windows. So can we have a novice user build something that just works across the board? Just a basic application to get people started. Non-blocking input. Lua uses coroutines, so non-blocking input is something that we really wanted. And no external dependencies to make installation easier. Non-goals, explicitly, no mouse support, no overlapping windows and that kind of stuff. So what does it look like? It's the operating system, and there's two libraries. The first one is Lua System, which is only providing C code with interfaces to the operating system. And the second one is the one which has far more code that actually does all the drawing and everything else. But the good thing is that you're already in the target language, so you can write everything in your target language. We wanted Lua System to be independent of platform, but because terminals are so fundamentally different on both systems, on POSIX and Windows, that some details do leak through to the terminal.lua library. The easy part to get this done, ANSI support. Windows gained it in 2019. That was like the big thing that made it viable, otherwise it just wouldn't have worked, in my opinion. And getting a terminal size, there's a single API call, this on all platforms. Everything else was a bit harder. The biggest challenge by far was the ambiguous width, display width, or display width in general. Windows does not have for UTF-8 or Unicode characters like emojis, which are two columns wide on the text screen. Chinese, East Asian languages have a lot of characters that are two columns wide. And for everything you draw on screen, you just don't want stuff to mess up your display, your construction, whatever you have. On Windows, it was fairly easy to do the output, but on Windows, the hard part was like doing the input proper. So to handle this, we had to implement, we used the, by Marcus Kuhn, an implementation that wasn't available on Windows. And for the width checking, we had to create functions for character and strings, which is like fairly simple. And we had to implement a string.sub, which is the Lua method for string mangling, cutting them in pieces and rearranging. And we had to write two, one for UTF-8 characters, because Lua is byte-based. And the second one is the same thing, but then based on display columns, because everything you do in your UI is basically based on the columns you display and not on bytes or individual characters. This was the hard part. On top of that, we built, because input is one byte at a time from the keyboard, and it meant that we had to rebuild a line editor. We built this thing, and it turned out this thing actually became like the core of all text handling for everything we displayed, because it has these methods to check width, columns, everything. And so this thing we wrote as a line editor, ages is all over the place in everything we do. The next big challenge was non-blocking input. On POSIX, it's fairly standard. You set it to non-blocking, you read one byte at a time, canonical mode, and the whole shebang. But on Windows, there just is no such thing. So we fell back on the very old Corneo.h, which is like, I think, somewhere from the 80s, but it's still available, it still works everywhere. And they can read directly from the keyboard buffer. Which means that on POSIX we can just read a single byte, and on Windows we have to go through a bunch of hoops. The main issue is that on Windows you read a byte character and you want to output a single byte. So we need to implement a buffer to store whatever the remainder is of the character that we're reading. And there's a bit of a thing with Windows that it occasionally leaks keyboard scan codes, raw codes, through the interface. Don't ask me why. Terminal can't keep up. And you have to catch that. But that's, once you know what you're up against, it's an easy fix. But figuring out why the weird bytes are just coming in, that's the hard part. Initialization. This is a bit tricky on Windows, POSIX actually. On Windows it was pretty easy. But on POSIX, it's the usual canonical echo and setting it to non-blocking. But the what turned out on, especially on Macs, it seems that if you set standard in to non-blocking, you're also setting standard out to non-blocking. And that's something you don't want. And the reason is that you have a file descriptor, but they can point to the same file description. So if you set it to non-blocking, you modify the file description, and then the other one that points to the same description also becomes non-blocking. So that's where we had another one of those, what the heck is happening here? Once you know, it's easy to fix. You make sure that each file descriptor gets its own file description, and then they're independent, and you can do whatever you want. So if you have individual bytes for keyboard reading coming in, then the first thing we do on the lowest level, like the three functions you see here, the top one is the C implementation that I just showed. The read key is actually the one where we immediately pass in a timeout and a sleep function. The reason we do it is because if we change the underlying implementation of the sleep function to something non-blocking, if you use a coroutine scheduler or whatever you have in the language that you're using for Lua, that is coroutines, then it means that everything beyond it just becomes non-blocking. And the last function is actually the one that does all the abstraction for parsing ANSI codes and everything else. To give you a quick idea of what it looks like. So if you have a simple prompt in a terminal, you can see like the double width characters, like the two Chinese characters are double width, as is the rocket. You can like copy paste some stuff, and it just works. But if we replace the sleep method that we have in the input, then this is the second example, exact same code, other than that we replace the sleep function with something that yields. And now we can see that in the top right-hand corner we have a clock ticking, and despite them, usually if I would use the standard C functions from the C library to read input, it would be blocking. But in this case, we can do background work, timers, whatever. So from there. Another thing that we ran into was querying slow. Initially we tried when we want to, if you draw something on screen, you want to reset the state to what it was before you started drawing. So you can query the terminal for foreground colors, background colors, cursor position. But it turns out to be really slow. The reason it's slow is that once you write a sequence to the terminal, and you immediately read, the answer won't be there yet. Terminal needs processing time, so you have to do sleep. And then you run into the underlying position of the operating system, and that typically is anywhere between 2 and 15 milliseconds. So if you do it once on drawing a screen, not a problem. Typically you create widgets. Every widget does the same thing, like getting state, restoring it afterwards. And if you do that, then it quickly adds up to 100, 150 milliseconds, and then you will start noticing it and become sluggish. The way we worked around this is actually by tracking state. So we created stacks in which we push the state and then pop the state without actually querying the terminal. And that makes it really snappy. Here's a number of items, the cursor shape, visibility, scroll reach, and text attributes that we created stacks for. And they look pretty simple like this. Just you push in the red foreground color and it set brightness. Everything else stays the same. You write a text, does it, then you pop it, and it restores to the previous, whatever the color was that was on the previous stack slot, basically. This worked really nicely for all of those things that we otherwise would have queried the terminal for. API usage, if you look at everything we use, in the end, I was actually surprised there was so little. I would have expected to be more API calls for the underlying operating systems to be that we would need. But in the end, it was fairly straightforward. And then concluding, if you look at the whole thing, I found in the end, like after the Google Summer Code Project, that the thing we achieved was actually way better than I expected, considering how snappy it was that we had a keyboard non-blocking handling, which has been a painful thing for a long time, at least in the Lua language. But the main things here are the keyboard reading to make it independent over the platforms and the display width. That is really a painful thing to handle. Like for every single string you handle, you need to check with display columns, the whole shebang. That's it. Questions?
Okay, the next speaker will come up. Yeah. And also when people come in, try to compress a bit more. Yeah? Please go ahead.
Any questions? Yeah. Sorry, can you say?
Edit line.
Yeah.
Support BI.
It's an object, and it has methods for key handling. So you can inject VI modes if you want to. And I think, frankly, I don't use VI, so I don't know the shortcuts. But one of the engineers that worked on it from the Google Summer Code actually used, I'm not sure it was VI or maybe another the competitor thing, but it should be possible. Any other question?
Did you consider adding support for images, like Sixon protocol or something like
no.
this?
No. Maybe next year, Google Summer Code. I mean, it was mostly considering the platform independence. That was like the major thing to achieve. So we can have a novice build something that just works across the board, something useful. That was the idea. And then the images and et cetera, nice to have, but in a later stage.
I don't know if you've got one in this
one. Yeah, that is the typical thing. Yeah. Anything else? So, thank you very much.